Once again, we're returning to Exodus chapter 14 in our study of the life of Moses, the man of God. And our text, again for this evening, is at verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now, without going through the message we preached this morning, just give you the heading, just to refresh your memory. We first of all considered this morning Moses and his influence. His influence, it was a calming influence. And the children of Israel were panicked. Moses simply said, Fear ye not. He had a calming influence. He had a commanding influence. For not only did he say, Fear ye not, but he said, Stand ye still. Don't be running about. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. They were to be still. And they were to see with the eye of faith. They were to be saved. The Lord, or Moses, told them that. And they were to be silent. Hold your peace. So he had that calming influence, that controlling influence over the children of Israel. And he had the commanding influence. We noted also that he had a comforting influence. All things necessary at such a time when the children of Israel were at wit's end corner, didn't know what to do, where to go. Well, Moses brought them comfort. Verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you. So this morning we considered Moses and his influence. Then we began to consider Moses and his intercession. And we explained, with the Lord's help, those words in our text, and the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? In other words, the Lord said to Moses, this particular time is not the time to pray. I have work for you to do. We explained those words this morning, that actually that was indeed an answer to the prayer, the cry of Moses. Moses cried to the Lord, and the Lord answered by saying, Wherefore criest thou unto me? That was the challenge. The Lord challenged Moses. And then we looked at the charge. Moses was to charge the people that they go forward. And we saw again that it was going forward by faith. When Moses said, Stand thou still and see the salvation of the Lord, well, at that point in time, there was nothing to see except a vast expanse of water. And Pharaoh and his chariots and the Egyptian horsemen behind. There was nothing to see. But Moses told the children of Israel, Stand still and see. And so they were going to see. They were going to see by faith. They were going to see the salvation of the Lord. And they could only see by faith. See what the Lord was going to do. And as I said, we pointed out this morning, Gideon's 300 men. 300 men. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over. He and his 300 men that were with him, they were faint, but pursuing. In other words, they went forward. Exactly what the Lord told Moses to tell the children of Israel. There's nothing much to see. But nevertheless, the Lord said, Go forward. And you apply that to the Lord's work. And you apply that to the Lord's work, and all you can see ahead of you are problems and difficulties and disappointments. And we have our own Red Sea. What do we do? Do we do what the children of Israel wanted to do? Do we go back in defeat? No, the Lord says, go forward. Then forward still. That's Jehovah's will. Though the billows dash and spray with the conquering tread, we will push ahead. We will push ahead. And He'll roll the sea away. That brings us now where we take up our study of this portion regarding Moses and his intercession. We've considered the challenge and the charge. Now that leads us to the conduct. We are now told about the conduct of Moses. And again, it shows us what a mighty man Moses was. We see here that God told Moses what to do. Verse 16. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now regarding the conduct of Moses, notice God's promise. God's promise. Here was something quite amazing. That God promised to divide the Red Sea, and Israel would go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now that was some promise. If we could only put ourselves where the children of Israel were and see what they saw by their natural sight, I think we would panic as well. But here's the Lord's promise, the promise of God. Go on, that ye shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. There's His promise. The promises of God often contain great and mighty acts, don't they? God promised Abraham a son in his old age. And Abraham was 100. And when God promised Abraham a son in his old age, what would man say? Man would say, no, that's impossible. Ah, but with God, all things are possible. God promised Gideon that he would defeat the host of the Midianites with his 300 men. A whole host with only 300 men. What would man say? Man would say, Gideon, that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God promised Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Here was Jericho. The city was shut up. That is, the gates were shut. It was a walled city. There was no way in. And yet God says, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. How was Jericho to be conquered? Well, we know the story. They were to march around the city 7 times. They were to blow their trumpets. And the walls would come down. What would man say about that? Man would say, that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And just with regard to Jericho, when the Lord said that he would bring down the walls, can you imagine what that would have been like for Joshua and Israel then to go in when the walls came crashing down? Would have to climb over a lot of obstacles. But that's not how the wall came down. The wall around Jericho came down in one piece and sunk into the ground. We have God's word on that. And I'll tell you something else. I saw it. In one of our visits to Israel, we went to Jericho. And you can stand and you look down into the ground and you see the walls. There they are, down in the ground. Man says, no, that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. The Lord said to Martha, thy brother shall rise again. Man would say, no, that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And Moses believed God. That's what it said about Abraham regarding a son in his old age. Abraham believed God, and it was counted him for righteousness. Moses believed God. We need to believe God. Moses believed God. Look at verse 16 again. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. That was what Moses was told to do. Take your rod, stretch it out over the sea, and the waters of the sea will divide, and the children of Israel will go through the midst of the sea. Now look at verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The point that we're making, Moses believed God. When God told Moses to stretch out the rod and his hand over the sea and told them the waters would be divided, Moses believed that. Because we get to verse 21 and Moses stretched out his hand. Notice, no questions asked. No argument. No hesitation. No doubts. What God told Moses what he would do, Moses believed God would do it. How we need to get to that place. As Paul said, Romans 4:21, what he had promised Abraham, he was able also to perform. The word perform, as you would imagine, means to do. What he had promised, he was able also to do or to perform. Do you remember our motto text for this year? Let's just look at it and remind ourselves, refresh our memory. Ezekiel 36. In Ezekiel 36 and verse 37. Thus saith the Lord God, I will. Yet, for this be inquired of. So there's a condition to it. I will, yet for this be inquired of. If you pray, inquired of by the house of Israel, to do, there's it again, to do. What he has promised, he's able also to do. He's able also to perform. To do it for them. And here's the promise. I will increase them with men like a flock. Do we believe that? Do we believe that God in this church, in this congregation, can increase us with men like a flock? Man would say, no, that's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And so let us get a hold of those words. With God, all things are possible. I know unbelief cries out, oh, it's impossible. Haven't we been praying for 26 years that God would fill this house, fill up every chair, while we enjoy that blessing in the summer? We'd love to see it the other 11 months of the year. Do we believe God can fill every chair with worshippers? I do. Because with God, all things are possible. We see the promise of God. We see the power of God. Notice carefully the wording there in verse 16. So what I say, when it comes to reading the word, it's good to read it over and over and over again. It's like a young man came to Spurgeon, starting out in the ministry. And he asked Mr. Spurgeon, what books do you think I should study? Spurgeon said, the four Gospels. He said, well, after I've studied the four Gospels, what else do you think I should study? Spurgeon said, the four Gospels. And he kept on asking, and every time he got the same answer, the four Gospels. Need to familiarize yourself with the life of Jesus Christ. If you're going to be a preacher of the Word, you need to get into the Word of God and study it. Because while there are verses in God's Word that are familiar to us, we can read over them, but if only we would stop, pause a while, tarry a while, and look into the Word and look into it again and again. That's what I have to do. Go over the Word again and again and again. And you look there at verse 16. And again, you notice the wording. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. Notice the wording. Stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide the waters. In other words, God spoke to Moses in a way that would appear that Moses divided the waters. Now, but it says, stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. Moses, I'm telling you to divide the waters. Divide the waters of the Red Sea. So what we see here then is the power of God working in and through his servant Moses. That's what we have. That's the wording we have. God's power working in and through his servant, Moses. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto him that is able. There's it again. There's that phrase again. That is able. That is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask and or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now, it's not our power. It's the power of God working in us. And that's what took place at the Red Sea. The power of God working in and through Moses. That it appeared that Moses was the man who divided the waters when he lifted up the rod. Now we know it wasn't Moses, but it was God working through Moses. He's able to do, able, God is able. He's able what? To do. Exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, and that's the power of God. My, don't we need to know more about the power of God in our lives? He's able to do. Not only is he able to do by his power, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We're talking there about the Lord giving us an increase of men like a flock. But we keep asking the Lord for that, knowing and believing that he's able to do it. Well, the Lord will give us more than what we ask for. He always does. The Lord always gives us more than what we ask for. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now what the psalmist said, my cup runneth over. So the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That is according to the power of God. The power that is the omnipotent power of the Almighty. And that omniscience was witnessed at the Red Sea when God divided the waters through Moses. Something, isn't it? When we think of what we need to see done, and when doubt creeps in, and we have a lack of faith, just think about Exodus 14. Just think about what God did at the Red Sea. You see, the promise of God, the power of God. Then we notice here also the preeminence of God with regard to this conduct. Here we have the preeminence of God. The Lord told Moses that what would take place that day at the Red Sea would be to his honor and his glory, the honor and the glory of God. Verse 17, and I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, and upon his chariots, and upon the horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. The Egyptian shall know that I am the Lord. I will get me honor. I will be honored. In and through what takes place and would take place at the Red Sea. Indeed, all and everything that God does is always for his honor and his glory. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And so all that God does is for His honor and glory, and for the benefit of His church. And notice what God said there in verse 18, "And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord." And when would they know? They would know when it would be too late for the Egyptians. They would know. This people that did not believe in God and the God of Israel did not believe in Jehovah. God said, when He would divide the waters, then they will know. Whenever they pursue Israel through the divided waters, and the waters risen up on either side of them, when Israel got through safely to the other side, the waters would come down. And the Egyptians that Israel were afraid of, they would see them no more forever. But when would the Egyptians know that the Lord is God alone? I'll tell you. When it was too late. It was too late. There was Moses in all the years that he spent in Egypt as a servant of God and made known that he had his trust and faith in Jehovah. But no, they weren't interested in listening to Moses. And here we have the Lord saying that the children or the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. But they would know that was too late. Isn't that true today? It's true today. We have men and women who go through life rejecting Christ, rejecting the gospel, not interested in the things of God, but they will find out when it's too late. They'll discover who God is when it's too late, when they pass out into eternity. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that in keeping with what we read in chapter 14 of Exodus? When the Lord said that He would have the honor and what would take place, and the Egyptians would know who He is. But they would know too late. That leads us now, after considering Moses and his influence, with Moses and his intercession. Next we have Moses and the intervention. So there they are, the children of Israel at wit's end corner. Nowhere to go, no means of escape from the pursuing Egyptians and Pharaoh's chariots. Well, the Lord told Moses what He wanted him to do. Verse 16 again. "Lift thou up thy rod, stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." But before the Lord opened the Red Sea and opened a way of escape and deliverance, we see first of all the Lord's protection. The protection of the Lord is mentioned there in verses 19 and 20, where we've commented on already. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. Cloud and darkness to the Egyptians. And it gave light by night to these, to the children of Israel, so that the one came not near the other all the night. There's his protection. And of course, the pillar of cloud and fire is a symbol of God's presence. And listen, where you have God's presence, you have God's protection. And God's presence was there in the camp of Israel. There you have the visible presence of Jehovah. This is made very clear from the words over in Deuteronomy, in chapter 1, in verse 32. I like the words of verse 31. And in the wilderness, when thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son, in all the way that ye went, until ye came into this place, yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you, to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, to show you by what way ye should go, and in a cloud by day. And there you have the pillar of cloud and fire, one pillar, and it came between Israel and the Egyptians. It came between Israel and the Egyptians. They had his presence, and his presence meant his protection. And when the children of Israel saw the pillar of fire shining in the darkness of night, they were assured the Lord God was with them and would protect them. Later, as we've just read in Deuteronomy, he carried them as a father would carry a son. That's how the Lord looked after his people. But again, notice carefully the words of verse 20. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, to the children of Israel, so that the one came not near the other all the night. The pillar was a cloud and darkness to the Egyptians. The same pillar gave light to the children of Israel. So you have two camps then. You have the Egyptians and the Israelites. And the pillar was darkness to the Egyptians, but light to the children of Israel. And that's what we have in the world today. Two people. Two peoples. Those who are in darkness and those who are in light. Those who are in the darkness of their sin, but those who are in the light of Christ, who is the light of the world. They are in darkness. And except they repent, they'll be in darkness forever. For the Lord will cast the sinner into outer darkness, prepared for the devil and his angels. You have the two camps there at the Red Sea, and those same two camps are in the world today. Those who are the children of darkness, those are the children of light. We praise the Lord, we're numbered with the children of light. So the Egyptians could not come near, nor harm Israel, while the pillar of cloud and fire stood between them. There's the protection. We press on. We have not only the Lord's protection, but the Lord's pathway. We know that the Lord is able to make a way where there is no way. That's what he did at the Red Sea. Verses 21 and 22. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. That must have been some sight. That would have been an amazing sight. First of all, regarding the Lord's pathway, we notice the wind. We're told about the wind. Verse 21, the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. Now the children of Israel, indeed the Egyptians, were no strangers to the east wind. Because back in Exodus 10, and in the verse 13, and Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind, there's it again, upon the land all that day, and all that night, and when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Now the east wind is summoned again by the Lord. God summons us the east wind again, which Hosea, the prophet, called the wind of the Lord. And he divided the waters of the Red Sea. Now we all know, through recent events in different parts of the world, in the Caribbean, the power of the wind. Houses demolished, flattened by the power of the wind. And here God summons us, a strong east wind, to divide the waters. So we can get a picture of it. There's power in the wind. And we read about a man in Scripture who knew all about the power of the wind. His name is Jonah. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 8, and God prepared a vehement east wind. There's it again. A vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon him, upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die. The strong east wind. God summons the wind that day at the Red Sea. And he summons the wind prior to that that brought the locusts. What does that remind you of? Does it not remind us of what the disciples said about the Lord Jesus when they thought they were going to perish in the midst of the storm? And they came to the Lord, woke him up from his sleep, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And the Savior stood up and rebuked the wind and there was a great calm. And what did the disciples say? What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Isn't that marvelous? From time to time, we may say, oh, that's a stormy day today. All of the trees dying today. There's power in the wind. And our God uses the wind because the wind and the sea obey him. Marvelous. And there at this Red Sea, the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. As well as the wind, there's also the walk. In the book to the Hebrews, the Apostle Paul states, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Hebrews 11:29. And when we look at what is written in Exodus 14 and verse 22, would we not say, boy, you would need faith to do what the children of Israel did. Verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. Think of that. I remember, well, quite a number of years ago, maybe you heard the Hollywood film produced by Cecil B. DeMille called The Ten Commandments. Remember seeing that film in my unsaved days, of course. And I remember that particular scene where, of course, trick photography and film making was used. When the children of Israel came to the Red Sea and the waters divided, it was quite impressive, quite spectacular to see it on screen. But there was no film techniques used here. God did it. And there you have, we're told, a wall of fire on the right hand and a wall of fire on the left. And before the children of Israel, there's dry ground. And they enter in with these two walls of fire either side of them. What would you say that is? You would say, that's a step of faith. And that's what it was. By faith, they pass through the Red Sea as by dry land. There's faith exercised again. So when God opens a way for us, we must step out in faith. When we definitely have a word from God about doing something, we should do it. Even though all we can see in front of us is the Red Sea, we step out in faith, because Paul has told us, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7. So you see the Lord's protection, the Lord's pathway, and then the Lord's punishment. We cannot develop this just now. But we read in verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went then after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of cloud. See again, one pillar. He looked through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon the chariots, and upon their horsemen. You read the rest of the chapter, and that's what happened. God's punishment and judgment and wrath upon the Egyptians, who had held God's people captive for 430 years. And when God had sent Moses to bring about their exodus from Egypt, they wouldn't let them go. After all the plagues, until that night of the death of the firstborn. This was God's judgment. It's a marvelous portion of Scripture. I do exhort you to read it again. And read it again. And see what else there is in that chapter, as we don't have the time to deal with the remaining verses. But as we pointed out this morning, verse 30, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. And they believed his servant Moses, which they didn't believe before. Praise the Lord. Then forward still, 'tis Jehovah's will. Though the billows dash and spray, with a conquering tread, we'll push ahead. Hail, roll the sea away. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh, our dear Lord, we bless thee again for the word. What a word is this. What a God we have. It is promised, if we inquire of him, to increase us with men like a flock. O Lord God, do it. Man says it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Dear Lord, again we pray that the word will be an encouragement to us tonight. We'll meditate upon it. And we'll think about it. And, O Lord, apply it and put it deep in our hearts. Be with us now this night and keep thy hand upon us all for good, and our going out and coming in, our down sitting and in our uprising. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.